begin this midweek service with a singing of hymn 1127. When Zion's sons, great God, appear in Zion's courts for praise and prayer, there in thy spirit deign to be as one with those who worship thee. Hymn 1127. God's most holy word for tonight you can find in the Gospel of John chapter 21 verses 1 to 14. Gospel of John chapter 21 verses 1 to 14. After these things Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answer him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, was but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up, and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. Thus far the reading of God's most holy word. May he add his blessing and teach us now to pray. Most holy and almighty God of heaven, O Lord, thou art glorious in all thy ways, and pure. O Lord, yet thou art gracious and merciful, God of tender kindness and full of love. And Lord, thou hast given us a place that we may come and commune with thee, and beseech thee and beg thee, and wrestle with thee, Lord, for blessings, for thy sacred presence in our midst, for our souls be tuned and set on fire with the flame of love, with those heavenly blessings that thou art able to give. O Lord, look down upon us in compassion tonight, and bring us upon that gospel way. Touch our hearts, open our ears. O, give us the eye of faith, that we might have the limbs of the awakened and quickened, and the needy, that we may run with haste unto Jesus Christ. O Lord, give us hunger and thirst. Give us that living spirit that seeks Jesus, that must have Jesus, or it shall perish. And Lord, that thou might bless us with resurrection power, with life in our souls from Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. O, that precious gift that thou hast sent on earth, thy dearly beloved Son and only begotten, blessed Jesus, holy and pure and spotless, almighty in power and everywhere present and all-knowing, gracious and long-suffering. O Lord, that thou would yet reveal thy Son in each of our souls, that he may come and speak to us tonight, and that our souls may be blessed and cheered, that we may sing songs of praise unto thee who art worthy to be exalted and reverenced and feared. O, for a sight of him, and Lord, that thou might remember then those who desire and long, and yet cannot come, those who know what they need, and yet, Lord, have not seen nor felt. Oh, that thou would yet come, O God, for there is nothing too hard for thee, no heart that thou canst not melt and soften, or no will that thou canst not break. Oh, pour thy love into our souls, melt us and soften us, and Lord, give us a gospel blessing tonight. Add us unto thy kingdom, cheer our souls, confirm that we are thy children, and give us that bread and that wine that we so greatly need. And Lord, do remember us in this night that we double to be pleased to take away every thought and every distracting care. Oh, bid Satan be gone for an hour, that we may see no man save Jesus Christ alone. that faith may be truly given in the eye seen, the eyesight given, that we might see Jesus and know He is ours and we His. And so, Lord, that Thou might bless Thy church that gathers here, those that have professed, given a profession of faith and love unto Thee, that the Lord might remember, prosper the soul, that it might be said of each one, it was said of one of old, oh, that Thou may prosper even as Thy soul doth prosper. Grant then that prosperity of soul. And if Thou should be pleased, Lord, to afflict, or if Thou should send a leanness, oh, send it in our lives, send it in our business, and send it upon our flesh, but Lord, not upon our souls. Oh, enriching our souls with living faith. Enriching us, Lord, with that desire to be in heaven with Christ, which is far better. Prepare us, O God, for the day of judgment. And give us holy affections. And grant that we might be risen with Christ, from whence we look for Him, that our conversation may be with Him, and our longing desire to be with Him forever. Lord, add of Thy kingdom here, in rich abundance. Favor us with increase of Thy kingdom. Hearts that Thou hast touched and drawn and compelled. Remember mercy, Lord, for we crave Thy mercy and loving kindness. Oh, bless our souls, we pray. Guide in speaking and hearing. For without Thee, Lord, in our presence tonight, we say, we confess. And with truth, we gather then in vain. But do bless us, Lord, then with Thy presence. And we shall thank Thee with rich abundance and great thankfulness. And Lord, remember our families and guide us in the paths of life and spare us and preserve us. Oh, that Thou would, Lord, guide us in every path. And we pray that we might be not ensnared nor encumbered with this world and its trickery and deceit and its false pleasures. That we might be in this world and using it, but not abusing it. And that Thou might pray for us and keep us from the evil one in this world. Lord, have mercy on our families. Guide each one. And, O Lord, that Thou might bless with souls that need Thee. Lord, guide us and our families as husbands and wives may love one another and care for one another. Looking unto that blessed and precious example of Jesus Christ, the husband of the church, His loving kindness and faithfulness. O Lord, that we might remember our children and keep them from an unprepared death. And give each one, Lord, that we might become praying people with a hunger and a thirst after Thy blessed word. Lord, remember our cause and our dear brethren as they preach. Bless them, Lord, as they preach that precious word, the gospel, the glad tidings of Jesus Christ. Give them strength and light. Give them a double blessing of Thy Holy Spirit. And give them strength in the face of enemies. And above all, grant that they might bless and glorify Thy name. And Lord, give us more men even now. More servants whom Thou would thrust out. Blessed with the knowledge of Christ their Savior. Thy faithfulness unto them day after day. Thy loving kindness unto them. Thy constant provisions for them. And so they may be made a means to strengthen Zion, encourage Zion, and break down sinners' hearts and be drawn to Christ for forgiveness. O Lord, remember our nation, our leaders. That Thou, Lord, might turn us yet now, before it is forever too late. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would yet turn away Thy anger. O, we fear Thy judgments. And Lord, remember us in mercy. We thank Thee tonight again, Lord, as we gather. There are so many blessings. Thou hast been so gracious again. Thy goodness is manifest all over the place. That we have a house of prayer that we may gather. Oh, those blessed themes that Thou hast made known, O Father. Thy church that Thou hast called out of the world, Thy family whom Thou hast chosen, sons and daughters, Thou hast called them. Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent, and those glorious truths that we may speak of again tonight. A blessed and a risen Savior who liveth forever to make intercession for His people. O Father, Thy salvation made known in the hearts of poor sinners, taught by Thy blessed Spirit. And Lord, we pray tonight for a thankful heart.
We pray, Lord, tonight for the ability to praise Thee and to bless Thee for these truths made known. And so, Lord, remember us as we gather. Oh, bless us with Thy presence and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, and Thy blessed Spirit to teach us all these things. Oh, remember those, Lord, who are not with us tonight. Thou might remember each one in the place they are. Thou might yet bless each one, shine in their souls with the sweetness of the gospel and the blessings of Jesus Christ. Hear us and answer us. In the precious name of Jesus, we ask all these things. Amen.
Continue to sing from hymn number 566. Ye famishing, naked and poor, distressed, tormented, forlorn, in Christ is a suitable store for all that unto Him will come. He's bread and the bread of life too, well suited the hungry to fill. Nor one that unto Him shall go, but will what will approve the bread well. 566.
Thank you.
you don't, you need the Lord's help again tonight. I draw your prayerful attention to John 21, verse 5, the first part. John 21, verse 5, the first part. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? I want to speak this evening hour on the that word meat, the seeking of meat, the toiling for that which satisfies or satisfies not. And as it applies to the latter part of the text and also to that precious truth that is, you can find in the 12th verse, where the blessed Lord Jesus Christ declares himself as a source of comfort, a source of nourishment and satisfaction to his children. Where it says there in the 12th verse, come and dine. I want to speak as it applies in three different ways. First, as it applies in the contrast between earthly bread and spiritual bread, earthly meat and spiritual meat. Then secondly, as it applies to the preaching of the gospel, the helplessness and the emptiness of preaching without the blessing of God. And lastly, as it applies to the child of God, in that place of emptiness, in that place in which they can only be nourished, in the sweet provisions in the presence of Jesus Christ as he so sweetly comes into their soul's needs and says, come and dine. A very precious thing, this story tonight again, the meeting of Jesus Christ at the Sea of Tiberias. It is a confirmation of the surety of the Lord's word, that every word that the Lord speaks is the word of God, the word of one that cannot fail, the word of him who, when he was upon earth, said, indeed, I will meet with you in Galilee, though they so little understood the full impact of that word, that there was so much between that time in which he spoke it and the time in which we speak tonight. So much would come to pass that they did not know. Indeed, that word was spoken in Matthew 26. I believe in the 27th verse it says there where Jesus, implements the Holy Supper, that sacrament in which he shall give the church the reminder of his offering up of his life, his broken body and his blood that flowed out of his sacred body for the cleansing of his people. And that they would do that continually in remembrance of what Jesus had done for them all through the course of history to the end of time. That it might be that means of which they may declare their love to that faithful Savior. Their gratefulness, their praise, their tribute to him for what Jesus had done for them. And then we read there in that 26th chapter that they sung a hymn and then they went out into the Mount of Olives, and there Jesus spoke those words. He says, this night all ye shall be offended of me, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the scriptures in Zechariah 13, smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered abroad. But when I shall rise again, the Son of Man shall go before you into Galilee. And we spoke on last Lord's Day again of that text in Mark 16, and verse 7, where the angel himself said to the women as they went to that sepulchre in anticipation of finding the Lord Jesus Christ's deceased body. And there, to their amazement, the sepulchre was empty and the blessed Lord Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. And the angel said, he shall go tell his disciples that he shall go before you into Galilee. Oh, how we do need a time after time, a sweet confirmation that Jesus' words are sure. He is the faithful one, the true and faithful witness, the yea and the amen. The first and the last. The Alpha and the Omega. Oh, we do need time after time to be strengthened in our heart, in our souls, of the truths of the word of Jesus. Has Jesus spoken to us? Has Jesus promised us? Then he shall surely perform it. Has Jesus given unto us that precious faith to believe in his word? Then he shall be the finisher of that faith, for recorded in the word of God is that Jesus is the author and finisher of that faith. Oh, to have, dear friends, a living faith, to have that trust in Jesus Christ. And tonight again, when we speak of resurrection power, when we speak of the toiling of mankind, and we speak of the foolishness of mankind and the weakness of mankind, and how we continually need to be strengthened in our souls, in our spirit, by Jesus Himself. We are forever toiling. We are forever wandering. Poor, fickle sheep we are. Oh, we will thank God for the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, if we come to know something. How poor we are. How needy we are of the presence of Jesus. And how prone we are to wander away from the sheepfold. Peter himself said that with such honesty. All we like sheep have gone astray. And I believe it is in the last verse of Psalm 119, it says the same thing. We like sheep have wandered astray. But Peter could finish that confession, acknowledgement of his weakness by saying, yet our return to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Oh friends, we have a longing. Do we have then that do we have that knowledge of the goodness of Christ? The riches of Christ? In our poverty, notwithstanding our foolishness, our recklessness, our ignorance? That we've tasted both sides of the gospel? Here we have it. In this 21st chapter, we want to speak in the first place then of a toiling, a laboring for a meat that perishes. The exceeding foolishness of it, the emptiness of it. And yet we are all guilty of it. May the Lord stir up our hearts to exert ourselves with the same labor, the same effort for our soul's welfare. For our eternal well-being. And that we might strive to enter the straight gate, the narrow gate. You might labor for that meat that perishes not. My mind was immediately drawn to Isaiah 55. The fountain of living waters. The freeness of that sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the encouragement to those that are thirsting. Needing a Savior. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, you see again. There is that condition set forth that people who they need the Lord Jesus Christ, they need the living waters of Jesus Christ, they need to be fed from that bread from heaven. Do we, beloved friends, need such a Jesus? Because we have that wonderful invitation, we have that wonderful encouragement in Isaiah 55:1, but again, it comes back to examine us in the second verse. It comes back to question the reader of Isaiah 55. Wherefore do ye labor for that which is not bread? Or wherefore do you spend money on that which is not bread and labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, incline your ear. There is again set forth before the reader there in Isaiah 55, the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the exceeding foolishness to labor for that which is outside of that fountain of living waters. And the souls being fed. Are we such laborers, dear friends? Children, have you any meat? You see, the disciples, they went to the story. We read that together. They were commissioned to go to Galilee to wait for Jesus there, for that great commission, for the breathing on them of the Holy Spirit. And there they were in that boat. I go a fishing, says Peter. I go to my old occupation. I go to spend the night a fishing as I was formerly accustomed to. And all the night they fished, and all the night they rowed, and all the night they sought that source of meat, and they found nothing. They found nothing. Empty hands. Empty net. Are we such ones, friends? You see, teaching us we can labor and labor for the things of this world. We can justify all of the exertions of our energy and our time for the things of this world. And we can say in a sense, in the first point, in the first way of applying it is that even if we should gain the whole world, it's an empty net. It's an empty net. Because it will do your and my soul no good. Wherefore labor ye for that bread that satisfieth not? Wherefore spend ye your money on that which is not bread, not the nourishment of the soul? We live in a hectic pace in this world. And I'm sure we have a catalog of things that we can justify why we're so busy. And I'm sure the devil will tell you it's all lawful. But beloved friends, lawful or not, is it for the welfare of our soul? Naked, one said of old, came I into this world, and naked shall I return. Dust we are, and we shall return to dust. Are we laboring tonight, beloved friends, for the deep necessity of the soul? Are we longing, beloved friends, that heaven's riches and heaven's blessings and the gift from heaven, Jesus himself, shall be made known to us? I was reading this morning. A pamphlet was given of the of Israel and of the Jews and of that of the nation of Israel, their love to the Torah, that it is the means of instruction in that nation, that the Bible, the Old Testament, in that sense, to them is so vital, so needful, so necessary, so rich, and they're not ashamed to own it. How poor. How poor to neglect the New Testament and the Lord Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of the old. How solemn and how sad and how empty it is without Jesus. The spiritual bread, the spiritual meat, the spiritual nourishment of the soul. Children, have we any meat? It's a question the Lord, as he stood on the shore, inquired of his disciples. Laboring all night long, we would say laboring in darkness, and nothing to show for it. Do we have any meat in that sense, dear friends? We could say we have meat, but do we have spiritual meat? You see, you go to John chapter 6. There's such a beautiful lesson in John 6. Jesus, in that chapter, describes himself as the bread from heaven. You see, the Pharisees and the Jews, our fathers did eat of that manna which God gave them. Your fathers ate of the manna. Of the miracle and power of God, they ate of the manna and are dead. As if to say, we can be partakers of earthly blessings. We have a unbelievable amount of prosperity. We may even have partaken with the Israelites of old of miraculous blessings and have never heard Jesus say, come and dine. I am the bread which cometh down from heaven. He that eateth of me shall never die, and he that drinketh of me shall live forever. He that cometh unto me, he that believeth on me, oh, he'll never die. Believest thou this? Friends, are we laboring for that meat? Are we laboring to be of the few that enter in? The Word of God is so clear so often with the description that it gives of those people and of that of the riches of that bread of life and of the sweetness of that bread of life and the satisfaction of that bread of life and the peace in the soul from that bread of life and the joy that is given in the soul from that bread of life. How far greater are the riches of faith and the riches of partaking of Jesus Christ and all the riches of this world. Have we any meat? Has Jesus said to us by faith, come and eat of me? In John 4, he says it again. He sitsat the well of Sychar. And the same sort of theme, he must needs go through Samaria. Oh, we pray that he has a needs be to come here. Oh, to sit in our midst and to incline the ear and the heart to hear the words of Jesus Christ. As a notorious sinner came to draw water from this earth, out of a well from this earth. But there she met Emmanuel. There she met him who said, come and dine. Oh, he smote her in her conscience. He set before her the reality of life. The utter emptiness of her life. The filthiness of her life. Her wicked passions. Her utter foolishness and baseness. He opened up her conscience. He opened up the veil of ignorance around her heart. He cut her with the knife of the law. That you might see how exceeding foolish she had been to that moment. Here before her was the everlasting well of life. The living waters that satisfy the soul. Come. Come and see and hear a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Do we feel our souls, beloved friends, being drawn to this well? The encouraging words of the gospel in our convictions, in our sorrow. In that solemn awareness that we are, there is a man who can tell. A man that can forgive sins, a man that has forgiven sins, and such a fullness dwells in him. Come and dine. Wherefore do we labor for that which is not bread? That which has nothing to do with the soul. And that which will not last with us the moment we cease to breathe. And the message tonight, dear friends, in our first point is not that we can be lazy people. That we can just sit on our stools in our backyard and read the Bible and all the things will just drop from heaven for us and the material. I'm not saying that. We are to labor. We are to work. We are not to be idle. But the priority is my soul and your soul. Our eternal welfare. We can be busy in the scenes of the day and our mind and thoughts engaged in the soul's welfare. And the longing for the coming of Christ and the power of his resurrection in my soul. To have in that sense and that feeling of dread of who I am. My weakness, my poverty, my filthiness, my sinfulness. But there is one who can breathe life in my soul. that faith may bring me from the cross to Gethsemane. Oh, that it may bring me again by faith to see that the sepulchre is empty because Jesus is risen. Conquered everything that stood in my way. He is my very life and only life. And I do need Him to say to me, come and dine. What is our priority, friends, tonight? To be come with a longing? A prayer. This resurrection theme may be known in our souls, that this life may be breathed into us. You know, what good does it do when we leave this world? And they say, oh, so-and-so was so industrious, such a hard worker. From morning to night, he worked and worked and worked and worked. Not a lazy bone in his body. But no time for spiritual meat. Spiritual striving. A spiritual savior. May the Lord grant us then, dear friends, tonight, for the first time or by continuance, that we might become those strivers to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Seek ye first is the word of God. And we would emphasize it tonight again, that we would seek first to find that spiritual meat of the kingdom of Jesus Christ and His righteousness. There is rich provisions. There is something worthy to be sought after tonight. Oh, to have to be feed on the body and blood of Christ. It is then we will thank God for the way in which He's led us to seek Jesus and to and desire to find Jesus. We will thank God for those scenes where we find that we are being cut up from the world and its roots that are entrenched in this world. The Lord takes the axe to those roots and cuts them off. But instead of looking down, we begin to look up. And long for the day where Jesus will say, come, yea, come, friends, come, drink abundantly. And then we will see if the Lord will show us, if the Lord will visit us, and the Lord will bless us. How precious are those visits when Jesus says, come and dine. Sets before us the table, the spiritual affairs of Jesus Christ, how rich, how sweet the savor of those that food is. Oh, we will lament the fact that we have so long stayed away. We have so long wasted so many years of our life in the things that are so empty and tasteless and poor. It's the same in our second point in the preaching of the gospel. Oh, we it's like Peter. Peter is sent to preach the gospel. In this chapter again, this portion of John 21, we find something in the preaching of the word. Except divine power attends the word. It doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't matter what tone we use. It doesn't matter whether we beseech. It doesn't matter whether we would drive you by fear or we would set forth all the love of the world. If Jesus, beloved friends, is not in it, the poor minister can set that gospel net out there in the Sea of Galilee, in the world. He can open up the net wide. Won't catch a fish. Won't catch a soul. Paul said it so clearly in 1 Corinthians 3. He said, I hear that there's schisms amongst you. I hear there's contention. One says I'm of Paul, and one says I'm of Apollos, and one says he's of Cephas or Peter. Is Christ divided? Is the gospel of Jesus Christ divided? Is the preaching about a man? Or is it setting forth before the hearers the glorious truths of the God-man? And the comfort of the church, and the blessings of the church, and the nourishment of the church, and the beauty of the church in the person of Jesus. Paul plants and Apollos waters, but God gives the increase. And there we see on that seashore, we see the God-man. He's indeed the very co-equal with his Father. All night long, Peter is fishing with his disciples, friends, and they catch not a thing. They're excellent fishermen in that sense. But we need the word of God and the will of God to convert. Dear friends, before we came out tonight, did we wrestle in prayer that the Holy Spirit might come tonight? Did you pray for the poor preacher? That the words are not his, but the words from on high? Have you thought of the utter poverty of a man? It says there so clearly that they're poor earthen vessels. We have this treasure, poor earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of God. Did we beg and pray that God may come tonight? Did we beg and pray that there might be an extension of the kingdom, that fish may be drawn into that net by God? Oh, that we may taste of Jesus and hear his voice. I heard it very many times when I was in England. A prayerless pew is a powerless pulpit. A prayerless pew is a powerless pulpit. How great is our need, friends, that the word of God may be attended with power. And that God has a purpose in our gathering together. That is to draw fish into the net. My coming to you, the Apostle Paul said, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with much trembling and fear, prayer and supplication, that the word of God may come and be blessed, because God wills it. And because God speaks it. And because God has fish to draw in. God has people to feed and nourish with Jesus Christ crucified. May the Lord grant us, beloved friends, that we might become a praying, wrestling people for the attendance of God in the preaching and in the hearing. And a rich blessing on your and my soul. That we might thank God that God has so favored us to touch our hearts and use poor preaching to glorify his own name and to comfort your souls and mine. That's what we need. And Peter is taught here again that lesson, so many lessons that the Lord is teaching before he ascends to heaven to his Father. He stands on the seashore. You see, friend, that was a very token that was not a stranger. That was not a man that needed some earthly meat. That was the Son of God. It is the Lord, said one in the boat, John himself. Who could make that net so full of fishes? Now cast thy net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find.
Now we would assume, I don't know, but we would assume that it was the wrong side to fish with for whatever reason. It may have been with the currents, it may have been with the tide, I don't know. It may have been with the wind. But they were fishing obviously on the left-hand side of the ship. And contrary to nature, so it is in the blessing of the gospel, so it is in the glory to God is contrary to nature. That the word of God may excel, that the word of God may have all the victory, all the honor, and all the glory. And that man may recognize it is the Lord that has done this deed. Sovereign grace, free in sovereign grace, and the power of God that compels, and the love of God that melts and draws a soul into that gospel net. That man is nothing more than an avenue, a channel by which the words from heaven drop into the hearts of the hearers. And Jesus Christ is made known, or Jesus Christ is becomes an altogether necessary one. The preachers, they're poor men, they feel their utter dependency, they feel nothing more but emptiness and poverty. Oh, that they might be made a comfort unto the Lord's people and a means of breaking rebels' hearts, and wretched sinners may be taught to flee to Christ. We can do nothing without God, nothing without His Spirit, and nothing without the power of Jesus Christ, that glorious resurrected Savior. There's power in His Word. There's life in His Word. And there's ability in His Word to draw sinners unto Himself. Oh, dear friends, do we long to be drawn to this person, Jesus? This Savior, Jesus Christ? How we do need to be kept faithful. If you would pray, beloved friends, pray that the Lord might keep me faithful to His Word, to the true doctrine of Jesus Christ and what is to truly be saved. Pray for the unction of the Holy Spirit in the reading of the Word of God and the preaching, that we might not veer from the truth. How much error there is today. Encouragement after encouragement after encouragement. Peace, peace when there is no peace. Oh, that we may be faithful and honest. And yet, dear friends, that we may also encourage poor sinners to come to Jesus. That the door is not shut for such ones, oh, that truly need Him, that long for Him. Jesus Himself, I have set before thee an open door that no man can shut. There's no man, no minister that will ever close the door, the gospel door, the church door of entrance on him or her whom the Lord has called. That I believe with my whole heart. May the Lord grant even now, dear friends, this sweet gospel blessing, these fishes, that word is so, has been on my spirit many times in prayer and in thought, and that is this: O Lord, pass us not by. Do not pass this congregation by in our families. We seem sometimes to have a false notion that we are the truth, that God must and will bless us. Why? He has 153 fishes. He will fill His net full with great fishes. His people He will fill. But will it be from amongst us? Why does it have to be here? Because we're so good? Because we spend our time laboring for spiritual meat? We pray that it will be here, and beg and wrestle with God that it will be here. But will it? Are we laborers now, dear friends, to be partakers of Jesus Christ? And does he occupy your thoughts, your mind, your day, and your night? How we do need Jesus to bring the fishes into the net in preaching. And to be the one. We don't see a man. We don't come for a man. We come that we might hear the voice of Jesus Christ speak to us. Come and dine. And now, dear friends, we want to speak in the third point of the sweet gospel blessings to those who toil and toil and row and fish and labor and have nothing. Or feel to have nothing. Here in Peter and the disciples, we find again the Christian church. We find again the emptiness and the inability of them to bless their own souls, comfort their own souls, or to receive any spiritual nourishment on their own. They need that risen Savior. They need that life from Jesus Christ, that authority through Jesus Christ, and the blessing of Jesus Christ to bring the gospel tidings into the soul. One of our hymn writers, and I won't say it in the proper words, but he says, "It is but midnight in my soul." It's always midnight in the soul. It's always darkness until Jesus comes. He is that rising sun. He's a day dawn, the dawning of the star, of the sun of righteousness. He's that light in a dark world, in a dark place. You see, again, they toil all the night long through fishing until the morn comes and Jesus Christ stands on the shore. Children, do you have any meat? After all your labors, after all your toiling, is there any comfort? Any riches? Any sweetness in what we're partaking of? Any blessings? Any songs of praise? Do we need that coming of the Savior and that of that word of Christ, come and dine? I believe, beloved friends, that the Lord brings his people in that wilderness journey. Brings them into the wilderness. Behold, I will allure her there in that wilderness. It is there I will speak to her. It is there I will comfort her. It is there I will give her wells of water. It is there I will give her that bread from heaven. It is there I will appear to her in the places of bitterness, in the places of sorrow, in the places of affliction, in the places of darkness, in the places of sickness and weakness and disease. It is there I will say, come and dine on me. It is there the gospel blessing shall be known and experienced in the soul. That all the praise and all the honor and all the glory might resound unto Jesus and Jesus alone. I really believe that it is in our helplessness, In our hopelessness, in all our toiling, in all our laboring, and having nothing to answer for at all, that Jesus Christ becomes so lovely. I was thinking that just today, assaulted over and over and over again by the temptations of Satan. And then, beloved friends, to have no other place of refuge but the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved his church and gave himself for that church as a ransom for her. He granted unto her that she might have deliverance from all her enemies and from Satan himself, and her own wretched heart, as they almost, we would say, work together. Have we fled, beloved friends, in that sense, and clung by faith so fast to Jesus' feet? Lord, undertake for my poor soul. That's what living faith hears, that Jesus, come and dine on me, my blood, my broken body, smitten and afflicted of God, bruised, wounded for our transgressions. That beloved Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, and there to find our refuge. It is there, dear friends, we find all the safety of our soul. If we think to find some peace or some blessing or some sweetness outside of Christ, we will be so disappointed. Do we believe that, friends? Have we found that all our laboring, all our longing, all our seeking, all our striving, you know, we can lawfully do it like Peter. He was a good fisherman. He knew it was his very occupation. But the net was empty. Children, do you have any meat? None. Nothing to speak of. It's setting forth the emptiness of man's labors and man's toiling. How everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. What? With a bag full of money. With the riches of your prayers. With all your studying. With nothing but confessions and acknowledgement of our sin. Bring no money. Nothing of the intellect, nothing of your obedience, nothing of your piety, nothing of your holiness, nothing of your personal religion. Bring no money, for the price, dear friends, has been paid. All the Lord is teaching us, why are you laboring? Why are you striving yet to please God in what you do? Everything outside of the words of this blessed Jesus, friends, is sin. Everything. Everything that's of the flesh. So that in the flesh, it is impossible to please God. And so the Lord lets us go a-fishing. He lets his children go a-fishing. He lets them seek to find that favor with God. Or that communion with God. Or that acceptance. Surely God will now see me. Surely God will now hear me. And surely God will now bless me. And the net is still empty. And the Savior is still hidden. And my soul is still filled with guilt. And restless as the ocean, the tossing of the waves. And black as midnight. The Lord will have us, dear friends, sink down into nothing. The Lord will have us to the place of hopelessness. And helplessness. And nothingness. that this beloved Jesus Christ and the power, his resurrection power, may be taught to us what it is. The Lord will never forsake you, child of God. In all of your sorrowing, in all of your laboring, in all of your emptiness, in all of your need, he will not leave nor forsake such a one. But when he has his full work done with you, and he knows, and only he knows what it is, oh, he cuts and cuts, and we think we are done with the cutting. We surely there's nothing more to lose. Nothing more to be stripped off. Yet deeper it must go to show us how full we are of self. I believe one of the old ministers used to say how narrow that way was. It's so exceedingly narrow that way is. All that it is only a naked sinner can go through. Oh, that's a deep work that the Lord has with his people. And dear friends, it's best for us to wait and wait and wait till he says, come and dine. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry and brought me out of the pit into miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. Wait for the coming of the Lord to stand on the shore and speak unto your soul, come unto me and eat. Oh, beloved friends, may the Lord grant unto us to know something of this emptiness and of this spiritual poverty. Our hymn writers, there's so many hymns that are so clear on this. And we sing that one so often, nothing in my hands I bring. Where is that poor sinner found? Clinging to the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where we're found. That's the safest place for you and I. To hear the groans of my dear Savior for my sins. To beg and plead that we might know that our sins are there on him. And he has undergone for us is our surety and redeemer. And he will certainly come and comfort our souls and not leave us destitute. The gospel is certainly full of encouragement and full of promises unto those smitten, afflicted, tried and troubled people. Those ones waiting for his word, those ones needing his word. The Lord has never set before us, dear friends, an easy way. Oh, it's easy. It's easy in the sense that we have nothing to do. But we always want to do something. And that's where the hard part comes in. We're always for doing something for God. To please God and to be acceptable unto God. Until we learn that it's all been done, we find such a beauty in that word of Jesus, it is finished. The whole of the work of redemption is done and completed. And now it is in that sense that God will draw his people one by one into that gospel net. One by one. They may have swam past that preaching of the word and the pointing to Jesus Christ up to that very moment. And then we thank God that that man on the shore would make sure that every fish gets into that net. The church's salvation is in God's hands. And we thank him for it. We are caught by the love of God. Nothing to do with a man's preaching. We are caught by the love of God in sending his son, Jesus Christ. The love of God to his people whom he's loved from all eternity, that he has called them out of the world and brought them to the feet of Jesus. We are caught because the power of God is also involved in our salvation. And that man on the sea ashore was Almighty God. Sometimes, and I've had that so many times. And actually, it's usually the way it goes. If there's ever a blessing in the preaching, it's almost always something that's never been meditated on. It's usually almost always a thought that has been injected into the mind by the Spirit. That the glory may be unto God. There's a story of that minister in England. He was sent to preach at another denomination, or another chapel, sorry. He made such a mess of the sermon. He was nothing more than a stammer. He felt it. He felt he was confused. The message was terrible. He said, amen, out of that pulpit, out of the door, and gone. And said, they'll never ask me again. Never. I believe it was shortly after he got home, the minister had wrote him a letter. And that the Lord had used that sermon to convert, I'm not sure who it was, and he just wrote back and said, impossible. Impossible. That anything good could have come out of that. And the minister from that sermon just sent a letter back, that the glory may be of the Lord. That Son of God and the Eternal Father will plant that word of power into the soul and bless and comfort His people because they are His from all eternity. He will awaken them out of darkness and out of sleep and draw them by love or drive them by His law to need the Lord Jesus Christ and to labor for the meat that never perishes and to start to loathe this world and start to turn their backs on the pleasures of this world. That is, that this world no longer has the same allurement. But Jesus begins to. Jesus becomes that needful one, that precious one. And there they wait at the gospel door, at the word of God, at the throne of grace. Not lazy. They're striving. They're laboring. They're pressing for the prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The soldiers, they're fighting. They wield the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. They're kneading, they're breathing, they're sighing, they're wrestling. Beloved friends, do we need this same Jesus? Has that word ever entered into our hearts, children? Have you any meat? And you know yourself how often I say it in Song of Solomon, where it says, behold the voice of my beloved. Has Jesus spoken to us and comforted us? To hear the voice of Christ and cannot wait, so eager, to come to Jesus like Peter. Over impulsive Petrus, impulsive Peter. He could have just rode with the other disciples. But no. It was the voice of his beloved. And straight to shore that he might be the side of Jesus. Is that your longing? Oh, that I might see him. That he might eventually appear to my soul. I cannot live this life without him. And I need him day by day. I need his comfort. Friends, if we have tasted of this precious Savior, it's infectious in that sense. We need more and more of it. The true and real visits of Jesus Christ will not leave us content with that visit alone. We will want to taste more and more of him. To grow in grace in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We will long for richer visits, more powerful visits, more longer visits. more frequent visits. Is such the case with you? Come and dine. The sweetness of that table. David knew it. The forgiveness of sins. The communion with God. Fellowship with God. There's so much in Psalm 23. He prepareth a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I have partaken of it. I was thinking of that David himself again. The Lord hath delivered me out of the mouth, and the paw of the lion and the bear. That is, beloved friends, to by living faith, believe and eat of Jesus. To be delivered by the Lord, to walk in that path of faith. And my same Lord and defender will deliver me out of the hand of this uncircumcised heathen, this uncircumcised Philistine Goliath. To sling the stone above faith into the forehead of the enemy. That is to dine on Jesus Christ and to live a life of faith in that resurrection power of Jesus Christ. It is, beloved friends, to overcome those who are far stronger than us. And it is to be able to turn our backs on the ways of sin and the temptations of Satan. Dining by faith in Jesus Christ's life, power, blood, and righteousness. To overcome and to desire the things of heaven. And to feel the power of Satan's temptations to leave us. That's to dine on Christ. And to give all the honor to understand it is the Lord. Have you been able to say that, friends? Oh, thank you, O Lord Jesus. Thank thee, and we thank thee for thy presence, for thy power, for thy love, thy virtue, my soul, the holy affections, the watchfulness, the carefulness. Yea, what carefulness it wrought within me, Paul said. What heeding my ways. What watchfulness it brought upon me. The turning of the eye again to Calvary. Oh, that I might hear again what my sins cost my Savior. That's to dine on Christ. To live from Christ. Friends, you can never get to the bottom of this theme. My life, my hope, my power, my holiness, my affections all come to Christ, who encourages my soul to come, who stimulates me with faith and with life and with love, enables me to walk the gospel way. Have you tasted such a Savior? Children, have you any meat? And may we be able to say, yes, Lord, thee and thee alone. May he grant us the sweet savor of himself. May he still fill our souls with a love unto him, affection to Jesus Christ, a desire to follow Jesus Christ, and strength, nourishment, light, and life from Jesus Christ. Amen. Sing from hymn number 524. The gospel brings tidings, glad tidings indeed, to mourners in Zion who want to be freed from sin and from Satan and Mount Sinai's flame. Good news of salvation through Jesus the Lamb. 524. Thank you.
forgive all that thou hast seen amiss in our gathering together in that precious blood of Jesus. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of God the Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.
Close the singing 506A.